Hey, guess what's happening on this week's episode of the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle Podcast with your friend and host, Oscar Camejo.
Hey, I have a question for you. Are you currently overweight and either have been diagnosed with pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes? Maybe you don't even know, but one thing is for sure, you know you're overweight, you've been considered obese, and you're ready to shed those extra pounds that you've accumulated over the last couple years. Or maybe you've been big your whole life and you know what? You're just concerned about your health. You want to reverse type 2 diabetes or even stop diabetes in its track, especially if you have pre-diabetes. Listen, I've been there and I am living proof that you can send diabetes into remission. I used to be 268 pounds, folks. I was sick. I was tired. I was sent to the hospital, and in the hospital is when I learned that I had type 2 diabetes. But you know what? Before that, a couple years earlier, I was diagnosed as pre-diabetic. I didn't take that pre-diabetes diagnosis seriously. I was like, hey, okay, I don't have the full-blown type 2 diabetes, so I'm good. But you know what? What about you? I am here to share with you this special episode that I think you're going to get a lot out of it. Because you know what? You may be considering why you should even take losing weight seriously. Because in this episode, I want to share with you why you should start taking losing weight seriously and how to get started. You know, we're coming up on the new year at the time of this recording. And like every new year, people have New Year's resolutions. They have this new you, new mentality, and they want to see changes. So in this week's episode, we're going to talk about how to prepare for weight loss success. We're going to also talk about ways to make your journey toward good health less complicated, because I don't believe it should be complicated. It should be simple, straightforward, and a plan that we can follow. We're also going to talk about a list of foods that you should and should not eat, especially ones that you need to avoid that's really leading to weight gain and making it hard for you to lose weight. And lastly, I'm going to share with you some of my recommended books and resources to help you further your knowledge of health and nutrition. So, my friends, stick around to hear the rest of today's episode. Like I always say, you don't want to miss it. Let's go. Hey, folks, welcome to this week's episode of the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle Podcast with me, your host, Oscar Camejo. My goal is to help diabetics and non-diabetics make lifestyle changes to reverse type 2 diabetes. You know, when I started the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle, this movement, if you will, this podcast, the TikTok, the Facebook page, the website, and social media content, the thing that I wanted to really drive home with every episode, every piece of content that I put out is that there are four areas of who we are in our life that I want to help people to reevaluate and make changes. And of course, the first area is in your soul and who you are. That's your soul is comprised of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And what are those things that are affecting how you think? What are those things that are affecting your motivation and your will to make changes? And also, you know, looking at what about your emotions? How are your emotions being affected by the things you eat and vice versa? How is your lifestyle of eating being affected by your emotions? So that's one area. That's the soul. And now the next area is your circle. That's your circle of influence, your friends, your loved ones, your spouse, coworkers, and so forth. How does your circle affect your lifestyle choices? So those are two areas, the soul and your circle. The next one is your entire lifestyle from, again, the way you eat, your exercise, your habits, and your choices, your overall lifestyle, your environment. When you walk into your house or when you go into your car, when you go to your office, those are areas that you frequent very often. What does your environment say about you? Does your environment show that you have a health and nutrition at the top of your mind? Or does it show that you have other things on your mind. You know what I mean? So reevaluating again your soul, reevaluating your circle, reevaluating your lifestyle. And lastly, that fourth area is your body. Now, when you look at your body, you may not be happy with your body. You may not be happy with how you look because you've gained a lot of weight. I know for me, I used to look at myself as this big fat walrus, and I never grew up being big. But between 2014 and 2020, I had ballooned and I gained so much weight. I was dealing with stress, relationship issues, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And things were being affected that, and things were just going on that affected my choices. Again, back to my soul, my will, my mind, my will, and my emotions. My circle wasn't the best in a specific area. Didn't have the support that I needed at the time, but no excuses. And then my lifestyle, my environment reflected what was going on in my life. So my body eventually suffered the consequences. You know, I was hospitalized in August 2020. So what about you? When you are evaluating your life, what's going on? What's going on with your mind, your will, and your emotion, your motivation? What's going on in your life? What's affecting how you eat? What's affecting how you live? Okay, what about your circle of influence? What about your loved ones? Are you surrounded by people who truly want the best for you? Are your friends supporting you? Are your loved ones supporting your decision to live healthy? So there's a whole bunch of things that we need to consider, you know, in your environment again, and now your body. So of course, I'm in the space of health and nutrition and of course, fitness. Because, you know, when I was 268 pounds and my doctor told me that, hey, you need to lose weight or else you could end up having a heart attack. You have high cholesterol, you have hypertension, high blood pressure, you're dealing with acid reflux, I remember. And on top of that, dealing with type 2 diabetes. So I was at risk for all these different things. And I had to lose weight. Losing weight was at the core of me turning my life around. And I have so much energy now, folks. I have so much vitality. I lost over 80 something pounds. And my physique is where I want it to be, probably 85% of where I want it to be. There's still a look, that chiseled look that I'm looking for and pursuing. And it's doable. And I know it's not going to happen overnight. Same thing with you. You know, preparing for weight loss success changed my life and it can change your life. You see, success won't come overnight, at least not lasting success. You got to put in the work, folks. I know you probably have heard it over and over again. And I'm here to support you and to back that and to keep it at the forefront of your mind that, you know what? If you're trying to get this new you, this new life, this new body, maybe you're working on getting a new job, you're about to relocate, and you know, you're also considering making health style change. I mean, your health changes so you can reverse certain diseases. You want to lose weight. You want to feel great. You know, going into the new year with a plan will be great. I want you to look beyond just the new year. I want you to build a lifestyle that's sustainable, that's lasting. Because you know what? Talking about moving, right? When you're moving and you're relocating, let's say, and you're going into a new home, it takes preparation, doesn't it? So just like moving into the new year, you have to think about the destination. You have to keep the destination in mind. You have to plan. You have to assess the cost. You know, you have to count the costs. You have to start packing. You know, moving day isn't always fun, but you know, you have to one day move. You have to make changes. So just like moving into a new home requires you to focus on the destination, when it comes to your health, you have to think about the destination. And in this case, longevity should be the destination. You know, type 2 diabetes is not the end. You know, other chronic diseases and other illnesses does not have to be the end. So just like you have to clean up the old house before you move into the new house, it's time to do some house cleaning, folks. Checking in, and checking on your body, seeing what's going on in your body. What things do you have to detox away from and get rid of? You know, you have to get rid of those old things. Those old things could be those habits. The old things could be the mindset. The old things could be just even some circle of friends that you have. You know, if you have friends that are really pushing you to not take your health seriously, you may have to make some changes there, or at least minimize your interaction with those people. And I know that can be a hard thing because, you know, we're social people and we like to hang around people. We like to be recognized. We like to be honored. We like to have fun. And, you know, going through life alone is not easy, you know, especially us coming off of the pandemic. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. But you know what? Just like you can't wait to move when it's time for you to get to go to this new house, you know, you should have that same excitement going into the new year and beyond when it comes to this new lifestyle of health and nutrition. You see, use that same mentality to move out of your current or your old way of living so you can move into and develop a new lifestyle. If I can do it, you can too. You see, when I was coming out of the hospital, you know, they were telling me that I needed to not only lose weight, but that I was going to be on medication for the rest of my life. You know, all I knew about type 2 diabetes was that you can potentially die from it. They were saying all I knew was that you could not only die, but you can before that lose limbs. And I was like, I don't want to die and I definitely don't want to lose any limbs. You know, I have some friends that was their situation. So at that point, I had never heard about reversing type 2 diabetes. It wasn't until I started educating myself and I kept hearing this thing about reversing type 2 diabetes. My doctor didn't tell me anything about it. You know, the nurse practitioner didn't tell me about anything about it. And I didn't really see much. I didn't receive much solutions from definitely people at the pharmacy or just people I came in contact with. But the more and more I started reading and I believe it was God that just kind of brought it to my attention that, hey, you can reverse type 2 diabetes, you know, but I was already full steam ahead in trying to lose weight. And as a result or benefit of losing weight, you know, I was able to send diabetes into remission and reverse it. Now, I can't tell you exactly how many pounds it took, but I've heard stories of people losing, you know, between 5 and 10% of their body fat and reversing type 2 diabetes. You know, they say type 2 diabetes is a lifestyle disease. So, changing eating habits, changing exercise, people were able to reverse type 2 diabetes. I mean, I've heard people who are able to lose it within 3 months, you know, some in 6 months, some people it took a year. All I know is I kept going to my doctor, getting my blood work, and I would see my A1C just drop. My health was just getting better. I started feeling better. And before you know it, my A1C readings were down to normal. You know, when I was in the hospital, my blood sugar percentage was 12%. Now that's high. So as of the last time I went, I was down to 5.5. So I'm definitely not pre-diabetic anymore and definitely not diabetic. So I'm grateful for that. There's nothing special that I did. You know, there's nothing special that you have to do. You just have to make up your mind to turn your lifestyle around, you know, from cooking better, obviously eating better, eating out less, eating proper foods that are going to nourish your body is a key. You know, the more I learned, the more adjustments I made along the way. It's going to have to be the same thing with you. You got to change your mindset. You got to change the things that you eat. You got to change your exercise, and you have to effectively change your relationships with folks who are not doing you any good. In any case, so it's time to go to school, folks. It's time to learn about food. It's time to learn about nutrition and health so that you can save your life. Now, let's move forward. Now, here's some ways to make your journey toward good health less complicated. Because I don't believe that losing weight needs to be so complicated. People make it so hard. Even understanding type 2 diabetes and reversing it, it does not have to be complicated. I know with all these diets out there, all these quick weight loss programs out there, it can be so confusing. So many diets and you have these magic pills and but, you know, there are some crazy things that are out there, you know, these certain hacks that people come up with and they're really just trying to sell you products. So you just have to be wise in your lifestyle, be wise in your choices. So here's the thing. I've heard it said that the smartest way to lose weight is simply to eat better, eat less, and exercise more. Let me say that again. The smartest way to lose weight is to eat better, eat less, and eat more. Okay, so let me break it down to you. So, of course, eating better is self-explanatory, right? You have to make healthier choices. But even that, you know, there's so many questions. Well, should I eat organic or can I just eat regular foods? There's so much to that statement of eating better. And I won't go too much into it in this episode, but simply you get the point. You have to eat better. Eating less, you know, that's where intermittent fasting comes in for some people. But eating less also means not overeating. Some people just have the habit, and that was me at one point, of just snacking all the time, even when I wasn't hungry, or eating food and just eating more on my plate or filling my plate with more food than I needed to. So I was just eating constantly, just, you know, dealing with cravings. So it wasn't just, I'll get rid of sweets, but the amount of food that I was putting in my body was just ridiculous. So next thing, exercise more. Obviously, that's self-explanatory. If you are very sedentary, meaning you're sitting a lot, you're not moving a lot, you may have a work from home job or your job, you go into a regular 9-to-5 and you're at your desk all day. Or let's say in the evening, while you're eating dinner, you're sitting down watching television after that. And you, or some people play video games, you know, and you're just sitting down all the time. Exercise is more than just getting on the treadmill or the Stairmaster or lifting weights. It's also about movement. You know, believe it or not, a 10 to 20 minute walk after a large meal, like at lunch or after dinner, can go a long way to help you build your leg muscles, because muscles help to absorb blood glucose, helps to reduce blood sugar levels. You know, I can go and have a whole episode on that. But the bottom line is increase your exercise, whether you're walking, you're hiking, you're in the gym, on the treadmill, increasing your resistance training. Basically, you're lifting more weights and pushing yourself. You know, doing more jump ropes. Actually, I've been working on a lot of conditioning lately, and I'm wanting personally to get better at doing jump ropes, you know, doing all the tricks and burning that extra fat through the jump ropes and so forth. So the bottom line is get more exercise. Stop sitting down so much. Stand more, walk more, exercise more, get your body moving, right? So your muscles can help you in reversing type 2 diabetes. There's a whole connection between resistance training and reducing your blood sugar. So let's go on. I want you to change your mindset about yourself, change your relationship with food, begin or improve your exercise routine, reevaluate your circle of influence, and look at what's going on in your body. Make sure that you get your body measurements done. A lot of people really don't know how much body fat and visceral fat they have on their body. They don't know their body mass index, or what's called your BMI. You know, it's good to know that. It's good to know, okay, how much water is in your body? What's your bone density? All of that stuff is very important to know. So how do you find your body measurements? It's more than just getting on a scale. You can go to your local gym, and most gyms, at least the reputable ones, have a body measurement machine that they can put you on and help you to evaluate where you are. Because I believe you have to know where you are in order to know where you're going. You know, don't just say, okay, I want to lose 30 pounds because I'm 30 pounds overweight. Okay, that's one thing. But you want to know, okay, well, how much percentage of body fat and visceral fat do I have on my body? So you can have some targets. Say, okay, I want to get down to 10% body fat. You know, so it's really important for you to know where you are in order to know where you go. So remember, change your mindset about yourself. Get rid of the I can't and it's too hard or this is not doable and change it to it is doable. I can do it. Start speaking positively about yourself every day. I don't care what it looks like. Even if you don't like what your gut looks like in the mirror, you don't like what your body looks like, your arms, your legs, stop calling yourself fat. Stop calling yourself ugly. Stop calling yourself whatever it is, you know, has been plaguing your mind. Next, change your relationship with food. Again, don't use food as comfort, even though we get comforted by food like babies. You know, babies learn that when it's time to eat, they just start crying and mommy or daddy gives them food. So they get comforted by food early on. So babies are smart. So we need to be smart. But the thing is, we should not turn to comfort food when we are going through depression and going through sadness and anxiety. There's a bunch of information out there on comfort foods and how to turn your habits around and identify what's going on, especially if you have a food addiction. So let me move on. Begin or improve your exercise routine. You know, regular daily movement, like I said, intentional exercise is critical to losing weight. I want you to find a workout program and regimen that you can follow, not just for a temporary fix, but for the long haul. And again, reevaluate your circle of influence, your relationships, and how they impact how you are living. You know that old saying, I'll tell you who you are by the company you keep. All right, so let me move on and share with you some foods that I recommend you should eat and foods that you should avoid. Anytime I give you a list or anybody gives you a list, you should chew the meat and spit out the bones. No pun intended. But there are so many benefits to the list of foods that you should eat and benefits for avoiding certain foods. Now, I'm not going to go individually and break down every food because this would be like a 10-hour podcast, but I'm going to give you overall when you want to eat healthy and have a healthier gut, which is your microbiome. If you want to increase your metabolism and have a healthy metabolism, if you want to get rid of constipation, because a lot of people are carrying around pounds and pounds of food because they haven't gone to the bathroom for days, you know, as far as having a bowel movement. And that is not good, folks. You should have at least 1 to 2 bowel movements a day, you know, 3 if possible. You know, not being gross, I go to the bathroom 3 times a day, at least. In any case, when you talk about nutrition, nutrients, getting your macronutrients, avoiding certain high fatty foods, specifically the trans fatty foods and limiting your saturated fatty foods, getting more foods that are going to help your immune system, foods that are going to affect your nervous system in a positive way, heart healthy foods, foods that are going to help you to lower your cholesterol. There is so many benefits. You know, another thing, you know, getting your phytonutrients from your plant type foods and knowing how to shop for foods. I'm going to give you this list and you can, again, decide what works for you. But I know for me, eating based on the rainbow, if you will, the rainbow of colors has really changed my life. And I'm talking about eating foods that are green, foods that are orange, red, blue and purple and white. You know, you can get all kinds of benefits from eating foods that are going to promote good health, eating less processed foods, things that are affecting your your blood sugar levels, your blood vessels, foods that are going to help you protect against developing coronary heart disease, having plaque around your arteries. I mean, there's so much more that I can go into. So I'm just going to give you this list, and I encourage you to look them up, do some research, and find out why these foods are really good for you. And I do have a book that I am going to share later on that helps you to break down, or that gives you a breakdown of these foods and many, many more. So let me get into this list. There are about 17 of them. Fatty fish, you know, like your salmons and your trouts. You have your leafy greens. That's your spinach, kale. So sweet peppers, man, I love sweet peppers. I cook with them all the time. I'm talking about, you know, like your red, your yellow and green peppers. Ah, so good. Avocados, man. Yes, my dad used to eat avocados all the time, and I couldn't understand why growing up. But now, as I'm older, I understand the benefits of eating avocados. They're healthy vitamins packed in avocados. They're a healthy source of fat and a bunch of other minerals. Cucumbers. Definitely, I use cucumbers all the time in my salads. And that's a green food that, man, they're just great. Eggs. Some people shy away from eggs. And there's studies that debunk the myth that eggs cause high cholesterol. You know, I'm not going to get into it now, but eggs are a great source of protein. You know, we need protein for muscles and strengthening our muscles and so forth. Chai seeds. Oh man, chai seeds. I put those in my smoothies every day. They're a good source of vitamins and fiber. Definitely, definitely very good. Another good source of fiber are beans, black beans in particular. They are a great source. Now, here's another one. Greek yogurt. Man, you can make, get yourself some unsweetened, unflavored yogurt and add some fresh whole fruit to it. You know, make yourself a parfait. There's a whole bunch of other things you can use Greek yogurt for as a good snack. Next thing are nuts, mixed nuts. I eat mixed nuts probably almost every day instead of buying a whole bunch of donuts and cookies. And anyway, nuts, they're a good source of healthy fats and they're good for your cholesterol and some other things. Broccoli is another thing. Broccoli, they help brush the insides. They give you a whole bunch of vitamins and the phytonutrients found in broccoli. Oh my God, you wouldn't believe how much broccoli can just impact your life. You're talking about protecting your immune system, healthy tissue, skin, and blood. You know, get yourself some broccoli. Cooking with extra virgin olive oil. I mean, I use extra virgin olive oil not only for cooking, but I put it on my salads. Extra virgin olive oil has so many good uses. It's a healthy source of fat, healthy fat. They have a better shelf life. Yes, you definitely want to start cooking with extra virgin olive oil. You can also consider avocado oil. So olive oil and avocado oils, those are two good oils that you may want to consider. Stay away from those seed oils that we normally cook with. They're just not good. Flax seeds, definitely, flax seeds are a good source of fiber and other nutrients. I put flax seeds sometimes in my smoothies. And if you want to get regular, get yourself some flax seeds and chai seeds. Definitely, like I mentioned earlier. Apple cider vinegar is the next item, and vinegar. If you want to lower your blood sugar before a meal, or when you know that you're about to have some food that has some carbs in it, like bread and rice and stuff like that, consider putting 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar in some water, in about 8 ounces of water or more. And the apple cider vinegar has so many benefits to help you regulate blood sugar. So that is a good thing to consider. Some people I drink apple cider vinegar and water in the morning when they wake up, and they drink it in the afternoon. It is a taste to get used to. It's not a bad taste, you know, but there are health benefits. It's actually an ancient remedy. Next thing is strawberries. You know, berries in general are really good. Strawberries and blueberries, they have antioxidant properties. So I use strawberries and blueberries all the time. I probably have more blueberries than I have strawberries. Next thing is garlic. I cook with garlic. I use garlic powder. I have a garlic paste that I use. Garlic is a great source of food if you want to boost your immunity. It also has anti-cancer and anti-inflammatory properties. Garlic, as well as onions and scallions, chives, those are some of the other things that you may want to consider. They help to lower your cholesterol, blood pressure, helps reduce the risk of heart disease and cancers, as I mentioned earlier. I have a whole bunch of food that I can just throw at you guys. You know, another thing that comes to mind is ginger. I put ginger in tea. I put ginger in my smoothies sometimes in the morning when I make a green smoothie. Ginger is one of those things that, again, for healthy blood, healthy immune system, you definitely want to incorporate those in your diet. Zucchini and squash. Folks, I know I gave you more than 17 items here. Things are coming to my mind right now that I definitely want to make sure you know about. Zucchini and squash. I lump both of those together because, hey, you know, yellow squash and green zucchini. You're talking about your vitamins, your A, your other phytonutrients that are going to help you to not only boost your immunity, protecting your eyes, helping you to detoxify your body, boost energy and overall well-being. You can't go wrong with some good zucchini and yellow squash. All right, folks. So just as important as it is in figuring out which foods you should include in your diet for diabetes and weight loss is the understanding that there are certain foods you should also limit. This is because many foods and things that we drink are high in carbs and added sugars, which, if you didn't know, can cause blood sugar levels to spike. Other foods could negatively impact your heart health and contribute to weight gain. So here are a few foods that you should limit or avoid as much as possible if you're dealing with diabetes, you know, type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes and so forth. And even if you don't have those, these are just things that you should really limit yourself and limit the intake. Refined grains, you know, like white bread, pasta, rice, because they're so high in carbs and low in fiber, and they can increase your blood sugar levels more quickly than a whole grain. Okay, so that's refined foods. Number two is sugar sweetened beverages, you know, like your sodas, your sweet teas, your lemonades, your sports drinks, and those energy drinks that people just chug down all the time. Sugary drinks will spike your blood sugar levels very, very fast. Some people will say, well, Oscar, you're saying that we should have more fruit in our life. So what's the big deal? Why can't we just, you know, have a fruit juice like orange juice, and apple juice, and grape juice? Well, here's the thing. Whole fruits naturally come with fiber. Fiber helps to lower blood sugar and blood sugar absorption into your cells, right? So when orange juice is made, for example, all the fiber is taken away. That's why it's better for you to eat a whole orange rather than drinking orange juice, because the process of making orange juice not only strips the oranges of its fiber and other nutrients, but guess what? They add sugar to many of the fruit juices, including orange juice. That's why it tastes so sweet. So I would rather you juice oranges at home rather than buy the shelf-bought, store-bought juices, right? I used to drink 5 glasses of orange juice back to back without fail. And that was no bueno. Same thing with grape juice. Man, I just liked the juices until I started learning about the impacts of sugar sweetened beverages. And I remember going and buying a smoothie every day from this one place, a 32 ounce smoothie from this very popular place. And I learned that that one drink, that one 32 ounce drink was a smoothie, was the equivalent of drinking 3 or 4 cans of soda. That's crazy, folks. That's wild. That's bananas. No pun intended. But in any case, you get my point. So that was number two. So remember, number one was avoid refined grains. Number two, avoid sugar sweetened beverages. Number three, fried foods. Fried foods have a lot of trans fat. You know, that's the type of fat that has been linked to a higher risk of heart disease. You know, fried foods like potato chips, French fries, mozzarella sticks, you know, and a couple others, they're usually very high in calories. So the caloric load of those foods, yeah, you definitely want to pay attention to that. But I definitely don't recommend you have them every day. I used to have fries every day, you know, or every other day. It was crazy. It was loco. But trans fat foods, fried foods, they are not good for you. You know, they can affect your heart in a very negative way. So do some more research on your fried foods and do your best to stick away or stay away from them. Again, that's your potato chips, your French fries, your mozzarella sticks, and some other fried foods, fried fish, fried chicken. You don't need it. You don't need that popular chicken sandwich from that place that people were going crazy over a couple years ago and blocking streets and driveways and stuff just to get. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Anyway, number four, alcohol. I'm not an alcohol drinker, never have been, but people with diabetes in particular are generally advised to stay away from and limit alcohol intake. You know, alcohol can increase the risk of low blood sugar. Think about it, especially if consumed on an empty stomach, and you don't want to go into hyperglycemia, and low blood sugar is not good, folks. Okay. And alcohol is also known to contribute to weight gain. You've heard of the beer belly. So just keep that in mind. Breakfast cereal, you know, that goes without saying. That's number five, breakfast cereal. Avoid breakfast cereals at all costs. Most varieties of breakfast cereals are high in added sugar. Stop giving your kids those Frosted Flakes, those Cheerios. I don't care if it says heart healthy. No, don't believe that stuff. That's all marketing on the front. You know, Lucky Charms and Fruit Loops. Oh, they're the worst. All that food coloring. You know, well, Oscar, you said, you know, eat by the rainbow, eat colorful food. No, stop playing. Stop giving your kids the Cheerios, man, and them Fruit Loops. You know, that red dye and that poison. Anyway, some brands pack as much sugar into a single serving as some desserts. So when you think you're sending little Johnny to school on some breakfast cereal and you're thinking that, hey, he's getting a good breakfast, think again. Plus a lot of the milk that you all are giving your kids, you know, a pump full of hormones and a bunch of other stuff. So when shopping for cereal, you know, be sure to check the nutrition label. I'm not saying don't eat cereal. I'm just saying you may want to definitely avoid the ones that, you know, have high sugar content. And, you know, choose oatmeal. I would say you may want to choose oatmeal instead and sweeten it with some fruit instead. Oh, but my kids, you know, they're so used to it. And that's the problem. You and your kids are used to that breakfast cereal. Hey, I know I'm getting on you about this cereal because obesity is rising among our kids. And parents, kids will eat what we give them. Okay, my kids are grown now. And unfortunately, yes, I had them eating cereal and I regret it, you know, but even as adults, I used to eat a bowl of cereal sometimes at night, but was never satisfied. You know, that who eats one bowl of cereal? Come on. Nobody does. Anyway, That's another soapbox. I have so many soapbox folks that it's ridiculous. Any case, I feel like I'm rambling, but y'all love me and I love y'all. So I'm almost done. Number six, candy. Of course, candy contains a high amount of sugar in each serving. Do we need to really go into that? Come on now. We know that. It typically has a high glycemic index. That means it will quickly raise your blood sugar and spike your blood sugar, meaning that it's likely to cause some crazy spikes and crashes when it comes to your blood sugar levels after you eat. So stay away from candy. At least don't have candy at your desk where it's just so close and so within arm's length and so forth. That was number six. Number seven, avoid processed foods like bacon, hot dogs, salami, cold cuts, because they're high in sodium, preservatives, and other harmful ingredients. You know, processed meats have been linked to heart disease and heart failure. So keep that in mind. Eat less processed meats. That doesn't mean eat less meats, like eat less steak and beef and chicken. It's just the process, because the process that these foods go through to make it to the shelf and to the refrigerator, you know, they're not healthy. So in any case, look it up for yourself if you don't believe me, but I know you believe me. So in any case, fruit juice, number eight, we kind of already touched on this on number two, avoiding sugary sweetened beverages. But I want to reemphasize this again. Number eight, fruit juice. Although 100% fruit juice can be enjoyed from time to time, if some people say they like it in moderation, I say just stick to whole fruit, you know, whenever possible. Eliminate the fruit juices. You know, fruit juices contain all carbs and sugar found in fruit, fresh fruit, but they're lacking in fiber, like I mentioned before. You know, fiber helps to stabilize blood sugar levels. So I want to wrap today's episode with giving you some recommendations. Of course, I created a free shopping list guide and a template for you to use when you're going grocery shopping. It helps you to shop by the rainbow, shop by color. You know, it's the fruit and veggies edition. I think it's something that you're going to enjoy. People are really enjoying it. So go to my website and download it. It's www.beatingdiabeteslifestyle.com/grocery list. And you're going to enjoy it. And give me some feedback. Tell me what you think about it. Now, here are a list of about four books that I recommend that you start reading, that you learn from to increase your knowledge, because knowledge is key, folks. So first book is by Benjamin Bickman, PhD, Why We Get Sick, The Hidden Epidemic at the Root of Most Chronic Disease and How to Fight It. Again, that's by Benjamin Bickman. That's B-I-K-M-A-N, Bickman. Number two, How to Beat Disease, The New Science of How Your Body Can Heal Itself by Dr. William Lee. Lee is spelled L-I, so that's Dr. William L-I, Lee, M-D. Number three, Healing Foods, Eat Your Way to a Healthier Life by DK Publishing. DK Publishing is actually out of the UK, but they also publish this book here in the US. Man, that book, Healing Foods, Eat Your Way to a Healthy Life, a Healthier Life, man, it's so insightful. They talk about the specific foods and what the nutrients that are available, vitamins and so forth in all kinds of foods. So that's definitely a book that you need to get and use it as a reference. I use it all the time. Last book, number four, How to Be a Conscious Eater, Making Food Choices That Are Good for You, Others, and the Planet by Miss Sophie Egan. Egan is spelled E-G-A-N. So those are my recommended books for you all. And definitely don't forget to download my free shopping guide. You're going to love it. So here are my final thoughts. Just like it's time to start moving, as I said earlier, I want you to decide today to start packing to begin living the healthy lifestyle you've been longing for and that your body has been truly craving and needing. Start living the new you today. Don't wait for the new year. Don't wait for months down the road. Start living like the new you today. Make positive, reassuring choices that's going to benefit you today. Don't wait for the new you to show up before you start living like you've already been transformed. Live a transformed lifestyle now. Transform your mentality. Transform your relationship with food. Transform your relationship with others. And transform your relationship with your body. Love yourself. Love your body. Type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes, and some of these other issues that we face is not the end, my friend. It doesn't have to be. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. So what are you going to do with it? So as always, my friends, stay focused, keep moving, never go back, leap forward, bounce back because you can. And above all else, trust God. You got this. I believe in you. Be sure to visit the website at www.beatingdiabeteslifestyle.com for access to free resources and other information that will help you along your journey. If you would like to submit a question or a comment about the show or to learn more about the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle, you can always email me at hello@beatingdiabeteslifestyle.com. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to this podcast.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle Podcast with Oscar Camejo. We hope you enjoyed this episode. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for motivational and educational purposes only. It is not a substitute for professional care by a physician or other healthcare professional or qualified fitness instructor. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or professional advice or services. If you're looking for help on your journey, seek a qualified medical practitioner. It's important that you utilize someone who is a trained, licensed healthcare professional who can help you on your journey toward good health.